NCHC.TV studios. IceTimeHockeyWest.com presents the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. Brought to you by Liberty University. Bring your faith and your game to the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast. See us at liberty.edu. Indiana Tech University. For ticket and schedule information for the two-time ACHA national champions, go to IndianaTechWarriors.com. Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For lunch or catering your next office party, we are the best of barbecue Las Vegas style. University of Georgia Hockey, power school athletics tradition, college town atmosphere, and the building of a program like no other at UGAHockey.com. College Hockey, Inc., growing the game at the college level and beyond. Adrian College, championship hockey culture and a nationally rated small private school education at AdrianBulldogs.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. With Caesars Rewards, members can enjoy rates as low as $10 a room. Maryville University, the big city style of St. Louis with a small school education. For more information, visit us at MarylandSaints.com or at Maryville.edu. Jets Pizza. Go to JetsPizza.com to find the nearest location to you. University of Mary Hockey. Top flight hockey, intense rivalries, and championship aspirations. For schedule and tickets, go to GoUMary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app. The only app that lets you earn Caesars rewards, but please play responsibly. FedEx, the official shipping company of Ice Time Hockey West. The American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Stephen Marsh.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us today. Scott Strandy with you for the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast Special Edition. A two in a very rainy St. Louis, Missouri. Rainy and cold, I might add. I believe it's like 48 degrees today. So went from cloudy and 50-something yesterday to rainy and 48 today. But that has not stopped the action. My co-host, as always, joining me from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, where I think he might be a little depressed at the moment, too. Stephen Marsh. Stephen, how are you? How are things in Vegas? And have you recovered from last evening? Either you're on mute or we have a bad signal. I can't hear you. Oh, goodness. We can't start the show this way. I have no connection to Stephen. So anyway, I see him. I see that he's talking, but I cannot hear a word he's saying. So we will try to reconnect and get things a little more solid as I broadcast today outside of the Centene Community Ice Center, podcasting from a parking lot, I like to call it. Maybe the signal's not good enough. We'll find out. But anyway, yesterday, day one was complete. We'll see if we can get Stephen reconnected, if that's possible. The results yesterday were nothing short of surprising. I'll tell you that right off the get-go, folks, if you're listening and have not been here. We're working on it to try to bring Stephen on. I don't know if we have him now or not. Stephen, can you hear me? Yeah, once again, I see him, but I cannot hear him. So hopefully we can get this resolved. Otherwise, I will give him a call on the phone and see if we can set it up that way and rock and roll from there. Just a little bit more work, but we'll figure it out because it's ACHA National Tournament Day. This one is when things get going really for real. But yesterday, as I said, was an exciting day. Lots of action, 8 games in total played. Some surprises, some upsets, some teams doing what we expected them to do. And while Stephen and I may have gotten the predictions wrong, what we did not get wrong were the surprises from the teams that we thought you might want to watch out for. So let me see if I can give you the scores here real quick and let you know what happened yesterday. I do have them right in front of me. Okay, here we go. Game 1, Utah 3. And Missouri State 4. The first upset of the day, 21 beats 12. So we'll see what's happening today with Missouri State taking on, they're going to take on UNLV tomorrow. Then the second game of the day, another upset, Pitt 5, Arizona 2. And that sent the Arizona Wildcats home. The game that I told you to watch out for was going to be a biggie. Purdue Northwest 11, Indiana, Pennsylvania 3. Purdue Northwest dominated start to finish. In a tight game at Maryville, Grand Valley State, the 14 seed, topped number 19, Delaware, 6-5. Over at Centene, the number 10 seed, Mary, took on Westchester, which I thought was going to be a blowout. Turned out to be a 3-1 game. Very close there. Calvin, over at Maryville, the 15 seed, and Indiana Tech, the 18 seed, two teams that know each other very well. Calvin comes up on top, 5-1. And then probably the biggest upset of the day, Oswego State, the number 24 team in the tournament, and versus the number 9 Niagara roster. A 4-1 victory for Oswego State. Then the final game of the night, and I watched this one. I told you it was going to be a good one. It was. Came right down to the very end. Grand Canyon 4, Illinois State 3. That's number 17 Grand Canyon versus number 16 Illinois State. They move on. Grand Canyon now gets Minot State, the last game of the tournament tonight at Centene Center. So let me try to hook up with Steven via the phone. I'm going to give him a call, and then we'll take it from there. So bear with the chattiness, if you will, as I call Steven Marsh and try to get connected with him here. Hold on 1 second. Live podcasting, folks. You got to love it.
Hello.
Live podcasting, Steven. Please turn your app off because I can't hear you.
Okay.
And just talk with me on the phone here, and we'll try to do the best we can from here. Can you hear me at all?
Yes.
Okay, and you could hear me on the podcast as well. I just couldn't connect with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was hearing you. I was connected. And I was talking, but you weren't hearing me, I guess.
No, not at all. So I don't know. It's the beauty of podcasting from your car in a parking lot during the rain outside of Centene Center.
Yeah, the mobile studio.
Yeah. Well, it'll be back in studio to the hotel tomorrow with a much better signal. So if we get through today, I think we'll be in good shape. I ran down the score, Steven. You were seeing them as they were coming in. I was sending you pictures. You were posting them up on our new Instagram account. So before we even get into the details of yesterday, can you give everybody this the new Instagram account and how they can follow along with pictures?
Yeah, the new Instagram account is at ACH Top 20 Podcast.
You are very muffled. If you're very muffled right now, so I don't know what you're talking about. If you could...
Can you hear me better now?
No, still very muffled.
Yeah, I won't use these headphones.
And now I think Steven just disconnected with me. So let me try to call him back and get this guy. Here he comes. All right. All right, you still there?
This is going very well.
It's technology, my friend. We'll deal with it. We'll get through it. So go ahead and give us a new Instagram account so people can follow along with ACHA Podcasts.
Yeah, it's ACH Top 20 Podcasts. That's the name of the Instagram page. And still in the process of getting some pictures up from yesterday's games. A couple of games, from later games that still need to be put up. But yeah, that's the account. We'll have some video too that you shot and some interviews that we're going to play here on the show today that will be put up too, so people can see the video version of them and see the facials and everything like that. So so just follow that. We hope to build it a little bit, and hope that Instagram was giving me a little bit of a hard time with, so the captions are very basic. I tried to be very detailed, and and tag and stuff, but then if I try to post it, it would be just the pictures and no text, which is weird. So
you gotta love technology. You gotta love technology. Yes. All right.
Oh yes, it works very well.
So let's quickly run down the pairings for today, as I'll be inside Centene here shortly. Jamestown number 4 gets to take on Pittsburgh number 20. That was the first upset of the day. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number 3 Central Oklahoma will take on number 14 Grand Valley State. Number 2 Adrian gets their old foe from across the state of Michigan, Calvin, the number 15 seed. And number 1 Minot State better be prepared. I saw Wyatt Wasilenchuk last night watching the Grand Canyon game. Grand Canyon number 17 gets their first ever tournament win. Let's jump to the first game yesterday, Utah and Missouri State. It's number 12 versus 21. Wow. I saw the start of it, Steve, and then I had to jump over to Maryville. But a 4-3, I guess you call it an upset, but boy, these two teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, first of all, how you going to manage today? You only have one building to be at today. You don't have to pop back and forth between two.
Well, I do have to pick up the executive producer about 12:30, okay. So I'll get that you'll done.
You'll miss some of the games while you're doing that. Yeah,
and probably not too much because I think the first game starts at 10:15. The second doesn't start till 1:30, so I should be back by 1:30. From the airport, and then Adrian and Calvin are 4:45 in Minot State, Grand Canyon at 8 o'clock. So that is the way things roll today. But you're surprised at all with Missouri State taking care of Utah? I know it was a close game. I know it came right down to the very end.
No, I'm not really that surprised. I think it could have gone either way. I think both teams, they're both good WCHL teams. I mean, Missouri State's had a good bounce back year. Let me know if I sound good. I tried different headphones here, so the AirPods I had don't work anymore, so I'm having to use my old wired headphones. So
not too bad right now. You sound pretty good.
Okay. So I think it's I think that they're evenly matched, and I think it could have gone either way. I was a little surprised because we talked about, as great of a season as Utah's had and the run that they've made this last bit to get to 12, and then you play a team in Missouri State who's 21, so it's kind of interesting. This is and we kind of saw this yesterday, that these are teams that wouldn't have been in the old format. So it's the new format. Now with 24 teams and Missouri State's 21, so in the old format, they wouldn't have even been in the field. So they get it. So it's kind of interesting. But I guess it just goes to show you sometimes a team can be maybe underranked or they're undervalued, I guess, in that regard.
Well, I'm going to use another phrase for you. I think what's happening at Missouri State is they're peaking at the right time. New coaching staff, they started a little slow. They've been getting better and better as the season has wore on. And I think they peaked at the right time, and I think Utah played well. I think Utah had a chance to win. I think maybe they should have won. But, when you're in a one-and-done scenario, little things make the difference, and I think Missouri State did more little things than Utah did.
Yeah, and in these kind of settings in the national tournament, you kind of have to do that. I think Utah, they worked so hard to get to the national tournament, and did they not prepare enough for this game, or did they just not prepare enough for Missouri State? And Missouri State they inserted their game more. I mean, it's hard to say, but for Utah to get to finally get there was good. But I know for them, just getting there wasn't what they wanted to do. And unfortunately for them, they'll have to just settle for just getting a chance to get there and just continue to build upon for them. And maybe next year, not only make the national tournament again, but to actually win a game and try to make a run at it. So, Missouri State, it's new coaching staff and it's a new, but the makeup of that team, or at least in their history, they've been in the tournament before and they know how to perform in these sort of settings. And I think sometimes that can matter.
Yep, it absolutely could. Okay, let's move on. Game two. The Arizona Wildcats, 13th ranked team, taking down the number 20 ranked Pitt Panthers. This one was different. Pitt started off quick. They built a 2-1 lead in the first period. It went that way all the way until about 10 minutes left in the third period. And then all of a sudden, Pitt scored two quick goals, made it 3-1. Arizona came back, made it 3-2. Pitt scored again. That's the way it kind of went the last 10 minutes of the game. And I think when you talk about, and this is a Vegas fighting term here, Stephen, that styles make fights, as my co-host Paul Hornstein always likes to tell me. And these were two completely different styles. Pittsburgh tried to block everything and lock it up and capitalize on their chances. And Arizona's a free-flowing team. Coach Berman was not happy, especially with his defensive effort last night when I had a chance to visit with him off camera. And, you know, it was frustration. You could visibly see it. Coach Berman was not a happy man most of the evening last night. So it ends up being a Pitt victory, 5-2. Were you surprised at that one?
I was a little bit, but I guess it was, you know, some of the problems that Arizona's had all season kind of at times kind of reared its head in this game, and just kind of, you know, as much as we wanted to kind of maybe say that they were going to turn a page in the tournament and try to put a run, at least a win together. I think some of the issues that they've dealt with this year with consistency and trying to put goals in and maybe even defensive effort and all that, you know, dealing with injuries, whatever that they have it. I guess it played a factor in this. And you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Arizona gets in and they still can't get a win. You know, the last several years they've been able to get into the tournament field in different parts. Either they're highly ranked or they're, you know, they have to fight to even get in, and they get in and then they get there and they don't come away. I think it's disappointing the way this one went down, but they've had probably more heartbreaking losses, games that they probably played, you know, pretty well in, but just they couldn't get the win. This one didn't seem like they really played that well and probably got what they deserved and lost to Pitt, who, again, is a team that can be kind of a tricky team. They kind of are. I remember last year watching them, or not last year, a couple of years ago, watching them and play, and they played, I think, UNLV, and it was a battle. UNLV ended up, I think, winning the game, but it was a battle. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised that Pitt put together this kind of win. And if you're not ready for them, it could hurt you. And it certainly did for Arizona yesterday.
I agree. Talked with Coach Stu Romek, and we'll visit with him and play the clip in a little bit here. Game number three saw Purdue Northwest, a team that I told you was scary good and maybe one of the teams that could challenge that was not in the top eight, just completely dominated Indiana, Pennsylvania. It was 11-3, and it wasn't that close, Stephen, which is hard to say when it's an 11-3 score, but man, Carl Trozian's team just completely dominated from start to finish.
Well, here's a stat you rarely see. 7 of 8 on the power play.
They were just dynamic. They were just
every
dynamic.
Every time they got a power play, every time they got a power play, they scored. And then they can talk about any insult to injury, so to speak. They scored their final goal of the game, the 11th goal of the game, with 1 second to go. They scored at 19:59 of the third period. So they didn't ease up, it seemed like, until the
No, they did end, not. But. And I had a chance to visit with Carl as well, and we'll play that clip in just a little bit.
A hat trick for Remmer, too. He had three goals in the game, yeah. So he gets a hat trick.
I'm surprised there wasn't more, actually.
Well, and Clow had two goals, and trying to think if anybody else had two goals, but I mean, so, so, oh, yeah, so I mean, it's That just never really was close. They scored 7 alone in the third period. So
yeah, I saw them all. Anyway, then I moved back over to the Maryville University Hockey Center and watched Grand Valley State take on Delaware. It's 14 versus 19. Boy, this one was a 6-5 victory for Grand Valley. And I left early in this one because I had to get back over and see our partners, Mary, take on Westchester. And when I left, the game was tight and close. When I found out the score, and then I went back so I could see Calvin and Indiana Tech at the Maryville Hockey Center, Maryville University Hockey Center. I'm going to get that right yet. Anyway, when I went back there, now this is an hour or more after the game ended. The Grand Valley guys were still hanging out in the locker, in the lobby area, and they weren't taking it well. I'm sorry, the Delaware guys were still hanging out in the lobby area, and they weren't taking it very well. It was a very heartbreaking loss. They thought they had a chance to win, and they didn't. And Grand Valley gets a 6-5 win, moves on, and oh yeah, by the way, they get a chance now to play Central Oklahoma, second game of the day today.
Yeah, that's going to be a wake up moment for them. But yeah, I mean Delaware. I mean they got 3 goals in the third period, so they tried to push on there at the end. But then they give up 2 in the third as well. I mean it was 3-0 Grand Valley State after the first period. You know, then the other final two periods, Delaware actually outscores them, but they couldn't recover really from a 3-0 deficit after the first period. I mean, as I said, Delaware got 2 goals in the second. Grand Valley State only getting 1, so that point is 4-2. And then Grand Valley State getting 3 goals in the third period. Grand Valley State only getting 2, so ends up being a 1-goal game. So, yeah, if you erase that first period, the better team, so to speak, was Delaware. Delaware had 43 shots in the game, and Grand Valley State only had 33 shots. So, sometimes that happens. I mean, yep. I've seen it recently. with the team here in Vegas, they get into early deficits, and sometimes it's just hard to come back from that. You try to fight and claw, but it takes a lot out of you to climb back into a game, and you just.
Steven, you know what coaches call that? They call that chasing the game, and you never want to be chasing the game.
Yeah, chasing the
even
game,
if it's exactly. A goal, 2 goals, or 8 goals, yeah. You don't want to be chasing because it takes you out of your style. You become the closer it gets to the end, you start to press, and then mistakes start to happen.
Yeah, and you almost have to play. You almost have to play perfect. You have to play perfect, and it's hard to do that when you're doing that kind of thing. And one little mistake, and the other team gets a good opportunity, and the way it goes, it ends up in the back of your net, and then that's a backbreaker. And that was the case for Delaware. But credit to Delaware. I mean, we'll kind of talk about it from a whole at the end of this. But just, you know, as much as we talked about it all year, how wide open or how open.
Parity, my friend. And parity.
Parity. and when we made these picks, as much as you want to still think that when it came time to the tournament that the better seeded teams would have the upper hand and that wouldn't be much of a contest, but we're seeing that the lower seeded teams, or the higher seeded teams, I want to look at it, are fighting hard in these games. And even though the 19th seed didn't win in this case, they probably felt like they could have won if they just had a better first period. So,
Totally correct. I will tell you that we may have to change the podcast to the ACH Top 20 Parody Podcast because parody is definitely the word. Okay.
We'll see how the parody shakes out today.
All right.
The teams that won today or won yesterday. Well, 4 of the teams that won yesterday.
Just keep in mind, those teams that won yesterday are now going up against teams that are fresh. And they're exactly. going up against the top 4 teams in the country.
Exactly. And, that's why I said we'll see if this parity holds up to today.
I'm not expecting it to, but we'll find out. Okay. So let's move on to you, Mary. I talked with head coach Dan Huntley a little bit before the game. Nervous excitement is the term that I'll use for Dan. I think he was obviously excited to be in the M1 tournament and a bit nervous. And that may have... that and the hot goaltender from Westchester kept the score 3-1, but Mary is just such a terrific hockey team. They skate so well. They position themselves so well. But when you run into a hot goaltender in a one and done, you sometimes end up with a 3-1 score. And I think Mary played much better than that. I think they should have won with a more convincing score. But it is what it is. You move on, and you, Mary, now gets to move on and play Liberty. And I know I ran into Kirk Candy multiple times yesterday. He had a very close eye on that. And he knows that tomorrow's 4:45 matchup with you, Mary, will not be an easy one.
No, as I said yesterday when we were doing predictions, I predict that Mary will actually end up beating Liberty, so that will not be an easy game. And hopefully you didn't tell Kirk Candy that I picked against him.
He listens. He knows.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe that'll be motivation for them. Sorry to you, Mary. I picked you. Maybe that's the kiss of death. I don't know. But
let's quickly jump into that real fast. Is that we did some predictions yesterday. We did all the predictions yesterday. And I think what happened was the upsets booted our predictions in one sense. But we did talk about three teams that all won yesterday that we said were going to be surprises. And that was Purdue Northwest. That was UMary. And that was Grand Canyon. And they all got wins. And they're all playing in the second round. So anyway.
I can't wait till we get to the next couple of games here. The one that is just surprising as those results. I'm really surprised about how the Oswego Niagara game ended up.
Okay, well, let's go to Calvin first. Calvin defeats Indiana Tech 5-1. What a battle! Those two teams know each other inside and out. I had a chance to talk to Mike Petsuma, the head coach from Calvin, afterwards. He gave a lot of credit to Indiana Tech. He gave a lot of credit to his guys. He, as you'll hear, he loves playing in Maryville, thinks it's a great site, loves coming to St. Louis. And that was the word from every coach yesterday, Stephen, is, hey, we love coming here. We hope it just stays here permanently. It's a great spot. They do a great job. The hospitality is terrific.
How was the lobby busy?
I didn't spend a lot of time in the lobby in Centene. It was fairly busy, but I can tell you what, John Hogan and the guys at Maryville did a great job of putting their four games on, and had a chance to have a burger last night in the restaurant at Maryville, and it was excellent. So kudos to John Hogan and the guys for a great job handling four games in a day at Maryville too. So, all right. So Calvin wins 5-1. Indiana Tech tried and battled and fought and had opportunities and just couldn't finish. A lot of it had to do with the Calvin goaltender, Mr. Yost, that was outstanding, especially in the first period. He kept them off the board, and then, Calvin got their opportunities. They scored again the same way that I saw Pittsburgh score against Arizona, just like 1-2-3, just like that. And when that happens, it's hard to get the reins under control again.
Yeah, no question about that. I think it's I'm not really surprised about this result. I think Calvin was the better team. I mean, they get three goals in the second period, two goals in the third period. Indiana Tech didn't really seem like they had much of anything other than a goal in the second period, but.
I got that goal too, by the way. It happened right in front of me, so I got the picture of it.
There you go.
Anyway, so I didn't get to see one game yesterday, any of one game, and that was Niagara and Oswego State. I guess I thought it was going to be dominating Niagara, and I didn't want to make the trip for the third time.
Shame on you.
Yeah, exactly. So Oswego State, I'm very sorry about that. The number 24 team. I was watching the tweets come across from ACHA and Chris Perry doing a great job with that. By the way, he was sadly disappointed that you weren't there. He asked me right away when I got there yesterday to Centene, he goes, "Where's your sidekick?" And I said, "He's kicking the trade deadline for us and the NHL and AHL play and the season in Vegas." But you were missed severely by Chris Perry and the guys, so. They think about you. They know you're out there.
Yeah. By the way, I think I figured out the problem why you weren't hearing me. I didn't have the mic completely all the way, the plug all the way into the thing here, so maybe that was why you couldn't hear me. So
okay, well,
we'll have to try that.
Let's
we'll
do
try
this.
That again tomorrow. But
well, let's do this. When we go to break, I'll play the partner ads, and then you can try to reconnect on the Podbean app, and then we'll see how that works. All right.
Okay.
We'll give that a shot in just a minute. We got a couple more games to go through. So Oswego dominates Niagara. I just don't know how that happened.
Well, as someone used to say, that's hockey, you know. It's true. And sometimes, again, this is the ultimate parody right here. I mean, Oswego State was the last team in. You know, I think they got in because of an auto pitch. That's usually the case in
year
2014. It's the lowest ranked team in. And it just shows you that ACHA's game, I think what was designed by adding four teams is that you're going to get more opportunities for teams to really to play. I mean, what's different here is you're playing a team that's number nine versus a team that's 24. So, you know, that's the way they do it. I mean, it's not like number one's playing 24. That'd be a little bit different. But number 24 gets it done, and it's
By the way, Oswego State gets number eight, Ohio, next. So if they took care of nine, they might have a shot at taking care of eight, too. Who knows? That'll be an exciting game, the final one of the day tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into the final game, and then we'll take a quick break, and you can see if you can reconnect on the app. Number 17, Grand Canyon, versus number 16, Illinois State. They waited around all day. There was a lot of pacing going on before the game started.
That's the one thing about playing that late at night is that you have to, especially for a team like Grand Canyon, who's, sorry to just jump in, but that was a team that, you know, probably excited to be there, really kind of nervous maybe a little bit or just kind of antsy. You got to wait all the way till 8:30 at night to, you know, maybe you're thinking about it a little bit, like, oh, we're going to play this game, and we're going to do stuff. We need more time to prepare, but you just want to sometimes just get out there and play. And they had to wait all the way until 8:30 or was it 8 o'clock?
Everyone's no, 8:30. So they were 8:30, trust me, and it went all the way.
Yeah.
8:30
is usually the last, yeah. So.
And, Steven, I was feeling an overtime in that game, and it was like approaching 10 o'clock, and I'm going like, oh, no, we're not going to go to overtime in this one, are we? After this long day, but Grand Canyon got it done, 4-3 victory. Okay, so let me make two comments here real quick. I believe that 8 o'clock start really helps Grand Canyon because that's more of their body clock time that they're used to in Arizona, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock Arizona time sometimes in the year, 6 o'clock
yep.
Other times of the year. So
I think that really helped them. It didn't take them off their game that much. They knew how to prepare for an 8:30 start central time because it would have been 7:30 in the mountain zone. So they would have been they were pretty like a normal day, right? And Danny talked about that in our preview show, that he thought that was important. Now, let's jump back to the first game of the day. Utah in the mountain time zone had to start at 10:15 a.m., the first game of the tournament against Missouri State.
That'd be
9:15 Utah time. Yeah, that's 9:15 Utah time and 9:15 body clock time. And while they practice in the morning, and a lot of teams do, it's different. It's different to get game ready. And I know coaches will never use that as an excuse, but I think that there is a huge difference for especially West Coast teams playing in the central time zone. If they can play in the afternoon or evening, And Michael Rivera told me the same thing. Central Oklahoma plays at 1:30 today. It's much closer to their body clock time. Now, the disadvantage to this is UNLV, again, has that 10:15 start on Saturday. And I saw the guys yesterday watching early in the morning, and I think they're trying to get themselves adjusted to that time zone. They got a couple more days to do it. So I think that'll help. But still, when you're playing games that you used to playing at night and now all of a sudden you're playing in the early morning, your body says it's not time to play yet, right? You don't have all day to eat your food the way you normally do. You got to jump out there and play. And I think they're fighting the very first game every year because they always seem to get that crazy 10-15 slot.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me sometimes to adjust to earlier games, but I'm not playing. You know, it's definitely something you have to account for. And you know, with UNLV's case, I think the fact that they're kind of used to doing it, I think will be helpful. Utah, of course, was a new experience for them. You know, they get in, but they get that time and as much as you want to prepare it. Probably there was some of that in their game that you don't know, but they probably wouldn't admit that was a factor, but it probably played a role. And then they played, you know, they played a team in Missouri State that, you know, it's early for them too, but, you know, maybe it's not.
No, they're Central Time Zone. It's early, but it's still, you know, Central Time Zone, so they don't have to adjust for the time, but. Okay.
But it's earlier than
the earlier. Than
they normally play in the evening, but I think, you know, when you talk about an hour difference, well, it's Missouri State kind of on the same boat too, but it's the time that they're in typically, so it's not like they're playing any earlier, I suppose, than what they normally would be like. Last year, UNLV played in this slot too, but it was even a worse situation, so to speak, because you're in, which is why I think being in St. Louis is good because it's Central Time Zone. So it's when you have to adjust, if your team's coming off from West or whatever, you have to play these earlier slots. But it's not as much. I mean, it's a 2-hour difference as opposed to a 3-hour difference when they were in Boston last year. When UNLV was playing their games at 10:15 a.m. In their games that they played in, which means it was really 7:15 Pacific time.
That's not fair. But okay, let's take a quick break. You try to get reconnected on the app. If it doesn't work, I will call you back, and we'll connect you in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Championship pedigree, world-class coaching, first-class facilities are all a part of the ACHA experience at Adrian College. The Bulldogs look to raise their third national championship banner in the last 5 years at Arrington Ice Arena, one of the best facilities in all of college hockey. Get a big school hockey feel with all of the educational advantages of a private education. For more information, go to adrianbulldogs.com or adrian.edu. University of Arizona Wildcats return to the Tucson Arena September 29th. Join the tradition and become a part of the legacy of hockey in the Old Pueblo. Cheer on your 5-time Cactus Cup champions as the Wildcats pursue a national championship after a promising offseason of key roster additions. Visit ArizonaWildcatHockey.org for schedule and ticket information and follow us on social media. Bear down and rise up.
Looking for a small campus setting with a big campus varsity hockey program? Located in the heart of the Ozarks, Springfield, Missouri, Drury University Hockey is the new game in town. The beautiful Jordan Valley Ice Park, located less than a mile from the Drury campus, is the home of Panthers hockey, including a newly renovated full-time locker room space. Drury University offers over 80 undergraduate majors and programs and 9 graduate programs with an average class size of just 19 students. Go beyond and become a part of a bright future for Drury Panthers hockey. Visit drurypanthers.com and drury.edu for more information.
Looking to extend your hockey career at a high level? Then the University of Georgia could be the place for you. Ice Dogs Hockey is an NCAA-style experience and championship culture, combined with classic rivalries, big-time athletics, and an elite academic institution. Go to ugahockey.com to start your journey and see if you can continue to help build the limitless future ahead for University of Georgia hockey.
Yeah.
Looking to find the right place to fit your academic needs with a chance to play championship-level college hockey? Then Indiana Tech could just be that place. In less than a decade, the Warriors have played for two national championships, appeared in the last four national tournaments, and won six regular season and conference tournaments. Off the ice, majors in not just the tech fields, but communications, criminal justice, and more can get your career off to that same kind of championship start. For more information, visit us online at IndianaTechWarriors.com or at IndianaTech.edu. Looking to continue building on a successful first season at the ACHA W1 level, Lake Superior State starts its second season in the CCWHA, a season that included having three academic All-Americans. If this is the kind of tradition that you are interested in help building as a player or support off the ice, then visit us at women's D1LSSUACHAHockey.com and see if the school-rated Michigan's most affordable university is for you. Lake Superior State Women's Hockey, the small school advantage with the big hockey culture built in. Play at the premier ACHA D1 men's program on the East Coast and prepare yourself for life and career at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Sellout crowds, top competition, and championship aspirations await you on our picturesque campus with state-of-the-art facilities, gifted faculty, and over 700 programs of study to help you make an impact on and off the ice, as well as your community training as a champion for Christ. Your faith in yourself and your beliefs are equally as strong. See if Liberty Hockey and Liberty University is right for you. Visit us at liberty.edu. If you are thinking of joining a growing power to continue playing high-level college hockey, then Lake Superior State's ACHA M2 program could be right for you. In just two seasons under head coach Steve Canisto, the Lakers M2 team continues its drive towards a national tournament bid, coming off the program's best season ever. For information about playing in this hockey-focused community, or if you're just interested in schedule and ticket information, visit our website at lssuachahockey.com. At some schools, winning the national championship is the goal. For Liberty's women's hockey program, it's the expectation. Winners of the last five national championships, Liberty women's hockey is the ACHA W1 standard. Be a part of the championship legacy on or off the ice with a first-class education, as well as serving your faith, community, and your game by visiting us at liberty.edu.
Welcome back to another segment of ITHSW Podcast's American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast.
Indeed it is, the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. Scott Strandy with you today outside of the Centene Community Ice Center in the parking lot, podcasting from a parking lot, as I like to say, in the rain, as we are just a half an hour away from the start of day two. My co-host is always not in the rain in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Stephen Marsh, hopefully you are connected and we can hear you loud and clear. How are things?
I'm disappointed that...
I can hear you. Yay.
Good. Amazing what it does when you put the plug fully into the thing.
It's always a learning experience, but especially it's 7 a.m. for you.
Yeah, see, I'm my body clock is having to adjust. But the problem is I'm also still dealing with the games that are in the right time zone, so it's not like I can go to bed earlier in anticipation of waking up earlier, but that's okay. I can always go back to sleep after this for a little bit to get some sleep.
Exactly. I hear you.
I'm disappointed that you're only getting rain there. I mean, last year, it was 2 years ago.
Don't say that four-letter word. Do not say it.
Well, I won't say it, but Rain. No, not Rain. Rain. Talking about the one that starts with
Rain.
S.
Rain. All right.
That it was that it was snowing there and it was cold, but I guess you're not having to deal with that. So
no, it's just cold, wet rain.
But you're inside most of the well. Yesterday you had to go back and forth.
Three times.
But it wasn't raining yesterday though, right? It was only raining today. So
well, it started to rain yesterday afternoon. So yeah, I got a little damp. But all right, let's hear from Pitt head coach Stu Rolnick after they defeated the number 13 team Arizona. Here we go. Here's Stu.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans. ACHA National Tournament, the M1 level, the number 20 ranked Pitt Panthers come out and take care of Arizona, the number 13 ranked team. Got the head coach from Pitt. I've got Stu Rolnick with me. Coach, just tell me a little bit about this game. You guys got off to a good start, and then nothing really materialized offensively until the final 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first period was just a little bit, everybody was a little bit nervous, obviously. And in the second period, we kind of settled down. We saw a couple of things that we could take advantage of in between the second and third period. And thankfully, it worked out. That's why the third period ended up where it was.
Talk about the third period and the way you guys scored those two quick goals and kind of took the wind out of their sails.
Well, we went back to our game, which was trying to get the puck deep, and then running our forecheck, which both of those goals were caused because of turnovers on our forecheck.
Thought your goaltending was outstanding again, kept you in it many times, and their goaltender wasn't bad as well.
Yeah, I really thought our first period when Devin made three or four saves in a row, that game could have been ugly the other way, but he really kept us in the game.
Tell me about the parity in ACHA M1 hockey. I mean, you guys come in as a number 20 ranked team. You take care of number 13. I guess it's a good idea that they added four more spots, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so competitive. There's people, I wish more people would be able to see the ACHA at this level because it is very, very competitive from 1 through 25 to 30. Very competitive hockey.
Talk about your season and getting to this point.
I would say getting through the injuries this year was a struggle. I mean, I think we're deep enough, but some of the kids are freshmen, true freshmen, 18-year-olds stepping in and playing at this level. It's a difficult transition, and we struggled for, I'd say, four or five games in a row until we got guys healthy. And now that those guys got their feet wet, I think they'll be fine for next season.
A lot of people talk about East and West in ACHA hockey, but I think it's pretty equal across the board, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit more physical, I must say.
Talk about your experience here at Maryville. You guys played at the Maryville University Hockey Center. Now you get to go over to Centene after the victory. So what's it been like here? What's the experience been like since you got here?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, we really like it here. We were here 2 years ago. We've had a good place to go eat. We've got a lot to choose from. So it's good. So now I can take the boys to dinner.
Can you look ahead yet, or do you want to put that one maybe a few hours in the before you start looking at it?
We'll get back to the room. We'll start looking at films with Jamestown. Jamestown's an extremely, extremely good team, so we'll definitely have our hands full with those guys.
What do you have to do to defeat them and move on to the next round?
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's going to be goaltending. It's going to be huge. Not giving power plays. Those guys are very good on power plays. So if we can try to play with them 5-on-5 and take advantage of those special teams, we could be okay.
Coach, congratulations on a great win. Good best of luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So you have to judge if a place is good or not by it. There's good places to eat, so it sounds like it's...
Stu knows. He knows where to take his guys. So anyway, we don't have a whole lot of time to get through the rest of these clips, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But I thought they played the style of game that they had to win. I think they frustrated Arizona top to bottom. I had a chance to talk with our good friend Jesse Lowell, who's a good friend of the show, and obviously, he was disappointed. I asked him what his plans were. He said he's going to give playing overseas a shot. And did a little shout out to us. He said, once I get over there, I want to come back on the podcast. So there we go. Jesse Lowell wants to be a part of us, even if he's overseas playing hockey. So,
he could be our international correspondent.
There you go. Anyway, so that's the plans for him. But again, I'll just tell you the people were so gracious, the players, the fans, the coaches, to spend time and talk about, especially after a loss. That's a tough thing to do. And kudos to Arizona, as they're always first class. And they deserve that new building they're getting with three ice sheets that now is finally, the last step was finally approved. So we'll look forward to that. That's going to be a real big moment
for them and that growth and what they want to take that program once they can get that new building and get it in.
Okay, let's. We only got 10 minutes left, so let's jump into Carl Trozen, the head coach from Northwest, Purdue Northwest. As I said, look out for these guys. I saw them play the very first game of the year, I think it was, against Adrian. They've gotten better and better and better. Here's Carl.
Welcome in, college hockey fans, the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 podcast. And I've got a top 20 team right here. I've got the head coach from Purdue Northwest, Carl Trozen. Right, Carl?
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'll make sure I get it right. An impressive victory for you today. Talk about it a little bit. And you got off to a fast start and just never let your foot off the gas.
Yeah, I know. You know, we got started early, and that normally is the key for us. I thought the first, you know, we started a little slow. You know, kind of settled in after the first 10 minutes and went from there. But, yeah, I know it was a pretty good offensive performance for the boys.
Talk about your team and the way you've grown throughout the season, because I saw you play Adrian very early in the year. At Adrian, like mid-September, mid to late September.
Yep.
Tell me how they've grown.
Yeah, no, we had 12 or 13 freshmen and a bunch of sophomores.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure it out. Man, it's funny, before the GLCHL championship game, we went back and looked at our line chart from that game and just how things have changed, right? How our lineups come together. And then just, man, we've had some kids figure it out. We've had some freshmen step up and some sophomores, you know, pick up right where they left off. And no, I love this group. This is one of my favorite groups ever.
Today's game was a little dominating from one side to the other, but you guys just, when you're in the tournament like this, you never want to take your foot off the gas because you never know what the other team's capable of, correct?
Correct, yeah. No, absolutely. 100%.
When you're playing in a tournament like this and you know it's one and done and you know what the competition is, especially ahead of you, how do you put that into words to the team and explain to them that this is it, this is do or die?
Yeah, no, we've had that talk for 3 weeks. So I've got 3 weeks to have that conversation. And, you know, I think it's just you try to stress that, you know, those little things that we talk about all the time, those attention to detail, that all matters now. And if you're going to go home, you know, with a performance where you just got beat.
Yeah.
You don't want to go home on a game where you were lazy or didn't do the little things or didn't win puck battles or didn't win foot races, right? That's not how you want it. Just make sure if you're going to go home, you're going home, you know, you're getting beat, right, with your A game.
Okay, so you've been here now for a little while at Centene. Just your thoughts on the tournament being back in St. Louis.
Yeah, I love this place. I hope it's here. I would come here every year. I hope it's here every year. Because the building's phenomenal, the hospitality's phenomenal, and it's only 4 hours up the road for us, so I love being in St. Louis.
When you look ahead now to game number two in this tournament,
yep.
Your thoughts on who you get next?
Well, we get Maryville, and then we watch some film on them, and yeah, I think it's going to be a really good hockey game. I think it's going to be, you know, a one or two goal game late, and I think the matchup is, you know, it's a matchup I think we like on paper, but obviously, you know, we got a day and a half to get ready for that one, and here we go.
Think about, for a minute, if you can, the parity in college hockey, especially at the ACHA level. You added four teams to the tournament this year. I think it's turned out pretty well so far, and we're halfway through day one.
No, it has. It has. I'm a big proponent of, you know, I think every year you had a handful of teams that could make the case to be there, and it's normally two or three. Now you've got those teams here, so nobody feels, you know, you always feel bad when a 17 or 18 got bumped for an auto bid.
Yeah.
You know, they probably deserve to be here, right? So I love it. You know, I love what it brings. And then, but again, it also, you know, it makes it, there is parity this year. And like for the first time in a long time, you've seen normally it's those top four or five teams are really, really strong. But we've seen those teams lose some games here as of late. So I think for teams like my team sitting at 11, we've never seen the tournament more wide open. And that's encouraging, right?
Absolutely. I said the same thing on paper. You're a scary team to play right now between you and UMary and Grand Canyon. Outside the top eight, I think that's pretty tough. So, Carl, appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the way, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Carl Trozen, Purdue Northwest. Just remember that. They got a few games left, gentlemen, I think.
So you're saying John Hogan and Maryville should be ready for him?
John is ready for him. Trust me, John is ready for him. I saw him doing a lot of studying yesterday,
taking copious notes.
I don't know if he's doing that, but he was putting them in the back of his head. He knows what he has to do and how good that's going to be. So, all right, quickly, let's jump on to Calvin head coach Mike Petunzma. As Calvin took care of Indiana Tech. I know Frank is disappointed at Indiana Tech. He thought he had his team ready to go. I thought they played well. They just flat out got ousted. So here's Mike.
All right, welcome back in, ACHA hockey fans. It's the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. Another game completed on day one. As you can see, I've got a very happy head coach from Calvin. I've got Mike Petrusma with me. Mike, first of all, congratulations on a nice victory. It looked like you guys controlled things start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, the first period's kind of a feeling out process, right? They kind of took advantage of a couple things that we kind of gave them a little bit. So we addressed that between the first and second period. Able to make some minor adjustments to that to take some of that away, and then we're able to transition off of that. So, but honestly, when you play a quality team like Indiana Tech, it comes down to heart, toughness, winning battles. Frank does such a great job over there, and we have a tremendous amount of respect for them.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your consistency, because you guys play really consistent hockey. I thought you talked about the feeling out process in the first period, but after that, you just started doing things the right way.
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, when you have a young team, and we've got 17, 18 freshmen and sophomore in the lineup, so when you come to an event like this, sometimes there is that feeling out process for them to get a little comfortable, get the jitters out. I think that probably helped, that they felt like, okay, we're here, let's start playing some hockey. But overall, I thought that we were disciplined, we were physical at the same time. We stayed out of the box for the most part, and those are keys to winning games, right? A lot of times, games at the national championship are all about specialty teams. I thought our PK was really good. We got one on the power, got a couple on the power play there. And those can lead to be the differences of the game.
What does it mean to play the schedule that you play during the year to prepare yourself for this? Because it looks like you guys were ready.
Yeah, so you know, sometimes coaches, and sometimes due to geography, right, it's hard for them to create a difficult schedule. We always try to find the best teams that we can play anywhere. I have a motto with our guys that, you know, let's go play. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
And I think that creates a mental mindset. And with that mental mindset can help you when you get to events like this. It's something that they remember. It's something that they can always go back to, that adversity, getting through the tough times. Because there's going to be some games where you're going to take it on the chin, too. So how do you bounce back from that? So there's a teeter-totter game there, right? They had some quality chances. Adam Yost played really well for us. Especially in the first period, gave us some big saves on some quality chances for them. That helped settle us down too.
Okay, so you come to Maryville. They added four teams this year. So you're the second to last game here at the Maryville University Ice Center or Hockey Center. Your thoughts on the tournament so far through the first day?
Yeah, no, you know, I've been here quite a bit. Yeah. Actually, so John and John Hogan here. I know what to expect when we come here. John runs a first-class program at Maryville, too. Tremendous amount of respect for him and the facility that they have here is beautiful. And Brian Moran does a wonderful job of organizing this tournament. And so you always know you're in good hands when you come here. Russ Slagle does a lot of the up behind the scenes. Craig Barnett, from a leadership standpoint, Paul Heber, our president. The ACHA does so many wonderful things. And for them to work tirelessly to provide opportunities for our college athletes is a tremendous, tremendous, like I said, I just have a ton of respect for the amount of time and effort they put into it.
Okay, how long will you get to savor this victory before you start planning for the next one?
An hour.
Okay. Your thoughts on the next matchup?
Well, I mean, we see Adrian, right? We're in the same league. And, you know, Gary over there, he has a tremendous program there, too. So that's a mountain for us to climb. We're trying to make it more of a hill. And I think our guys are prepared. I think we're in the right mental mindset. You know, Gary does such a great job of coaching them. They play the game fast. They play it quick. And so we just need to be ready to play at that level. Last time we played them, we lost 3-1 with an empty netter. So we're ready for the challenge.
Mike, appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the way, okay?
Thank you.
Mike Petrusma, head coach at Calvin. with a win as well.
Yeah, not that I can add to that. Why don't we get to, you have Grand Canyons too, right? We want to get to?
Yeah, I just have a short clip with Danny. Obviously, they were very excited. Danny Roy, the head coach. Immediately after the game, they were really pumped up. And we got just a few minutes of some noise behind us. But here we go.
Well, welcome in, ACHA hockey fans, to the ACH Top 20. Danny Roy is with me. We saved the best for last, Danny. What a performance.
Knowing the 16-17 seed should have been a good game, we made it a good game, they made it a great game, it was a good back and forth, and thankfully we prevailed.
Tell me about this team and their ability not to quit. I mean, they rebounded for every time they threw something at you, they came right back.
It's been the story of this semester. Spring semester has just been resilience. We've trusted the process, bought into the process, and the only reason why we're here is because of the guys in the locker room. It was tight and scary, but I think we all believed in our guys.
Your thoughts on your goaltending decision tonight? Morgan played outstanding for you.
Yeah, he's a senior, and he earned this opportunity to come out and play what could have been his last game, so we gave him that opportunity.
Okay, let me clue this in for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big game. Saturday's a big game. Sunday's a big game. Every game's a big game right now. Your next one up, though, a really big one.
Yeah, we played them, but it's all about momentum, and hopefully we've got some good momentum coming in. We can hopefully catch them off guard a little bit, and you never know, right?
How's the health right now as far as everybody ready to go?
Good. The adrenaline's high, so you don't hurt when you got adrenaline going.
Your thoughts on Minot's day? What do you have to do to beat them? Who stood out for you tonight personally that made individual performances?
I would say the line in general, Cam Nalen, Tristan Telugo, and Ben Oakland, forechecking wise, that line just that carried us.
Danny, appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow, okay?
There you go. That's all the coaches. Amazing how we can go through the time as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and we're over the hour here, and you want to get inside. But with Danny Roy and GCU, you had messaged me when that game was going on that it was risky that they didn't have their Ukrainian goaltender, and who had been, I guess, their part of the run, and he's been having a really good season.
He's kind of been their number one since
Christmas. Yeah, since Christmas, and part of this great run that they've been on, but he said it in his interview there that his senior goaltender, he earned this opportunity that he's been with the program for a bit now and had that opportunity and finally gets the opportunity to play in a tournament game, so he got that opportunity, but it is a gamble because
he played really well also.
But he really rose to the occasion and was strong and we'll see, but the benefit now is. It was risky because it was a little bit of a risk because you're not guaranteed you're going to get to the next game. But now the benefit now is they have a fresh guy that's been strong, and I'm sure. Yep. And now they'll be able to put him in if that's the direction they're going to go. They'll be able to put him in, and he didn't have to play yesterday, and so he'll be fresh and ready to go for tonight. So I still anticipate that Minot State will probably win this game, but I would not be fully shocked if Grand Canyon pulls it off, just because they've kind of had some moments the last few months where they've surprised people. So this would just be another thing to check off that they've done during this run that they've been on to get.
Well, I think as my co-host Paul Hornstein likes to say, they're playing with house money now because it's.
Oh, I know things about house money in Vegas.
I figured you did.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't get a lot of house money here, but some people do.
They made it to the tournament. They won a game. Anything they get from here on out is bonus. But don't take them lightly because they intend on winning this thing.
Well, they don't want to just stop now. They're not satisfied with getting there and winning a game. They want to give Minot State a chance, and we've seen in the past Minot State can be vulnerable. I mean, what kind of team will it come out? Will it be the team that people expect to be one of the favorites to win the national championship, or will be Grand Canyon be able to catch them a little off guard? And like the 2 years ago when Ohio shocked them as the two, when Ohio State was, or when Ohio was the 15th seed and Minot was number two, and Ohio went in there and surprised and won, and we'll see if GCU can do that. It's going to be a little bit of a different circumstance because that was a really good Ohio team. Of course, this is a good GCU team, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm
we'll find out tonight. We'll see how it goes.
You'll get to see it in person.
Two more of our partners, and then we'll wrap it up quickly because it's already 5 minutes past, and there's a game in 10 minutes. So here we go.
New challenges, new level, same quest. Join us at the University of Mary for the 2023-24 hockey season as the two-time ACHA M2 champions. Bring that championship pedigree to the M1 level. Watch the Marauders take on rivals Minot State, Jamestown University, and national powers Missouri State, Illinois State, and Colorado State as they look to add to their hockey legacy. Head to GoUMary.com to find out how you can support University of Mary Hockey. Looking for the big school college hockey experience in a small school setting? Then Maryville University, located in St. Louis, Missouri, could be for you. Fielding five teams across all divisions of the ACHA since 2018 and playing just minutes from campus in the 1,000-plus seat Maryville University Hockey Center, the Saints enjoy a first-class athletic experience as they compete against ACHA powers like Ohio, Liberty, Minot State, and Illinois State. For more information about all things Maryville, visit maryville.edu. Experience the best of academics and athletics at Minot State University. At Minot State, we're not just a team. We're a family united by passion and determination. Achieve your academic goals while thriving in a supportive community. With a commitment to excellence both on and off the ice, we're shaping leaders. With an 11-to-1 student-faculty ratio, over 1,200 scholarships awarded annually, and in-state tuition for all students. Experience education that goes beyond textbooks, propelling you towards a brighter future. Join Minot State University and be part of a legacy of success. Discover your potential at Minot State. Learn more at minotstateu.edu. Minot State University. Be seen. Be heard. Be you. When you put on that Central Oklahoma Broncos jersey, you represent a championship culture on the ice and in the classroom. Two-time ACHA M1 national champions, four-time WCHL champions, and named a Best in the West college by U.S. News & World Report, UCO hits all of the benchmarks for an elite college hockey experience. Our Edmond, Oklahoma campus, which is just minutes from downtown Oklahoma City, has over 100 areas of study and over 200 student organizations to help you find your fit. Whether it's our stunning 210-acre campus or our NCAA-level hockey environment, go to uco.edu or ucohockey.com and see if Oklahoma's Metropolitan University is for you. As a premier ACHA M1 university, UNLV offers a unique chance to play college hockey. Experience a pro setting in Hockey Mad Las Vegas while you earn your degree in any of our over 300 majors in one of the world's destination cities. If this sounds right for you, then visit us at rebelhockey.com to get your future started today. Women's hockey is one of the fastest growing sports in the country, and at Maryville University in St. Louis, having two ACHA women's teams allows young women to continue to play top-level hockey. Maryville Women's Hockey aligns with the university's core values to provide opportunities for growth as a player, as well as the sport. The Maryville University Hockey Center is the place to get a first-class hockey experience and is just minutes from campus. For more information on Maryville Women's Hockey, go online to MarylandSaints.com.
Welcome back to another segment of ITHSW Podcast's American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast.
Indeed it is, the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. Scott Strandy with you outside of the Centene Community Ice Center in St. Louis, Missouri, Maryland Heights, Missouri.
Is it still raining? Raining?
Can you hear it?
Is it still raining?
Can you hear it? It's yeah, coming down good.
I can hear the. I can hear it coming down on top of your car. The good thing you're inside of your vehicle.
Yeah, it's raining pretty good right now. I'm going inside in just a minute here, but
well, yeah, let's before we
wrap up, let's talk about the teams and the now we know the next 2 days who's yeah. playing who. So let's find out that breakdown real quick. We will have Jamestown. I'll do today. You do tomorrow's. Okay. Number 4 Jamestown starting in about 8 minutes versus number 20 Pitt. Number 3 Central Oklahoma against number 14 Grand Valley State. That'll be a 1:30 start Central Time, 4:45 p.m. tonight. Adrian, number 2 against Calvin, number 15. And number 1 Minot State will get number 17 Grand Canyon. Steven, who's going on Saturday?
Well, we could do that. I mean, we're going to be doing another show tomorrow, so but we'll have that. But kind of follow up from what we won yesterday. The first game of Saturday will be Missouri State. They'll take on UNLV. That's going to be the first game of Saturday, 10:15 a.m. Central Time. Well, all Central Time, so we'll just say that. Centene, but it'll be 8:15 Las Vegas time for UNLV's purposes. The second game, Purdue Northwest. The 11th seed taking on Maryville, the 6th seed. That's the 1:30 game. Then Mary, the 7th seed taking on no, Mary the 10th seed taking on Liberty, the 7th seed. That'll be at 4:45. And of course, the times are always subject to change. Of course, if there's overtimes and stuff, which we
oh shush,
well, it can
don't
happen.
Talk about overtimes. We're not playing overtimes here.
Well, and or if there's delays in games that we saw yesterday. Oh, I just lost the last one there. Oh, Ohio and it's the 8th seed against Oswego State.
Oswego. Get it right before they start punching me for you.
See, that's the big benefit of me. That's the benefit of me not being there is I can say all these things wrong, and then you'll be the punching bag in my behalf.
I don't want to be the punching bag. I'm too old for that. Okay, take it away, my friend.
Let's see here. From the NCHC.TV studios, this is the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast presented by IceTimeHockeyWest.com. Liberty University, bring your faith in your game to the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast. See us at liberty.edu. University of Central Oklahoma, first-class experience on and off the ice. For more information, go to uco.edu or ucohockey.com. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, lunch, catering, dining in or out, or just getting our award-winning barbecue sauce. We're at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. UNLV Hockey, follow the Skating Rebels Championship Quest. For schedule and ticket information, go to rebelhockey.com. FedEx, ship, manage, track, deliver, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. Adrian College, championship hockey culture, internationally rated small private school education at adrianbulldogs.com. Maryville Women's Hockey, go to marylevillesaints.com for schedule and ticket information. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, with Caesars Rewards, members can enjoy rates as low as $10 a room. University of Arizona Hockey, visit ArizonaWildcatHockey.org and become part of one of the West's most historic hockey programs. Jets Pizza, lunch, dinner, and catering as well at JetsPizza.com. I'm sure you'll have some while you're there. University of Mary, new league, new level, same goal. Visit us at GoUMary.com. The Tag Creative Group, have us create that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. Go to Redbubble.com and search T. Grand Rudd. Oklahoma University Hockey, the action you crave only faster at OUHockey.net. The American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network and is live every week and all this week during the tournament on the Podbean app and is available on your favorite podcast platform at ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Again, search ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review any of our podcasts to help others find the show.
All right. Very well done, my friend. I've got 2 minutes to run inside and catch the start of the first game of the day.
And I've got 2 minutes to lay down and go back to sleep for another hour or so.
Nice.
Before I get into trade deadline stuff, because it could be a long
doing
day.
It in the rain. All right. We'll hopefully get a pro hockey report, the Pro Hockey West report, in tonight. We'll find out and see what the trade deadline looks like and how it affects every team in the NHL and AHL. Here we go. We'll say goodnight with a little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, De Niro. Good night, everybody.